The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The NFL offseason. What month is it? What day is it? I'm Rusty. This week on Pod Like a Raven. So we've only done one episode since the Super Bowl. This is our second episode since the Super Bowl. We tried to put that season behind us and move on, and I think we've needed some time away to kind of settle and get our mojo back and find joy for the 2024 NFL season. But we are back now, checking in before we get really ramped up into the NFL draft. I am Antonio Barbera, excited to be talking with you again. We got a few Raven news and notes to discuss. We have some weird NFL things to go over, and then we're going to tease a few topics for the draft coming up in a few weeks. But first, let me bring in my co-hosts, starting with Jace Evans. I'll give a small peek behind the curtain here. We are recording a few hours after the eclipse of 2024, and I know Jace Evans. This is like, I feel like I'm a news anchor going to like the reporter out in the field. Like, I know Jace Evans was out there, glasses on, looking up at the sky safely. So Jace, how was it out there?
It was pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know what to expect, Antonio. Big fan of the eclipse. I found out I did have some glasses. I was a guy sillily just standing in my parents' backyard looking up at the sun, but it was a fun time. It was a strange time, you know. Eclipse, what's going on? Everything's, the energies are off, but no, it was fun. And you know, it's finally springtime, I guess, knock on wood. I think we've pushed through winter, and I'm ready for fall already. I'm ready to say it. I'm ready to watch football. I've put last season fully in the rear view, and maybe I'm stupid, but I think the Ravens are going to win the division again. I think we're going to have a great season, and I'm really excited. So, you know, a lot of good things about summer, a lot of good things about this time of year with it warming back up. But yeah, I'm excited to talk some football and ready for regular football in general, even though we still got months to go until that's happening.
Man, that is some April positivity, if I could say anything. Tim Horsey. Tim, how you doing? Did you enjoy the eclipse? Are you like running through the meadow of optimism of the Ravens 2024 prospects?
I'm going to let you answer that one yourself. I'm doing okay. Yeah. I love draft season. I'm getting to the mode now where I just want it to be here. I love kind of doing a big old Thursday, like I'm going to regret this on Friday morning for work type of night, watching the first round and catching much of the other 2 days of coverage as well. Not a ton to talk about, but it is nice to talk to you boys again. First of all, a couple things with Jace here. Jace, you just said spring is finally broken through, which means we're getting snow in like a week. So thank you for that. Appreciate that. I also did purchase a pair of glasses from my local 7-Eleven establishment. $2.50 for a piece of plastic. Just ridiculous. But yeah, I got to sneak out during work and kind of look at the half moon eclipse, and unlike Jace, I was just kind of like, sure, why not, and moved on with my day. Call me the eternal pessimist here. I'm optimistic about the Orioles, which I'm sure won't break my heart in just terrible fashion come October. Yeah, really, really stupid. I know. You can call me out now. We're going back and forth. But yeah, no, I'm excited to get into some of the news and more excited to talk some draft stuff and then kind of reveal our plans for our mock draft as well, which I can't wait for. One of the best episodes of the year.
Some late inning issues for the O's in the first few weeks. Hoping they
who knew Craig Kimbrell would be a problem.
We're all you know, without being on camera, raising our hands in the air, similar to Kimbrell before he throws another pitch right down the middle. Anyway, let's talk Ravens here, because have they made some more big splashes in free agency? No. Did they make some marginal, interesting moves, retain some players? Yes. And we are going to review a few of those names. The oldest news, I believe, is Arthur Millett coming back to the Ravens. I don't think we covered that in our last episode. Great. You know, depth, did some good things. Good price for this type of veteran to kind of be a spot starter or, you know, reserve, third corner, that kind of thing. So a nice addition there. Josh Jones is a name that came across the ticker, and I don't think any of us really knew who this lovely human was. Offensive lineman coming from the Houston Texans, kind of was a spot starter in his career, and he comes to the Ravens. Kind of feels like, you know, there are opportunities for you here to start, or you're going to be a seventh, eighth lineman kind of situation. And I'm going to let my co-hosts give their takes on these players as well. But the third one, my favorite, Chris Board.
Yep.
signing for the Ravens as a special teams ace. Where was he before? The New England Patriots. Who do the Patriots no longer have? Bill Belichick. What did Bill Belichick love? Special teams. It's all connected, just like the eclipse. It's all stars and aligning and planets and moons and suns. Chris Board, you are a Baltimore Raven, and it's just the quintessential John Harbaugh acquisition to help special teams. And then the last one is the biggest. Kyle Van Noy re-signing with the Baltimore Ravens. Months earlier than he did the first time when he signed with the Ravens in September. 2-year deal for Van Noy. I'm going to assume you guys are into it. I don't know if I've seen the financials behind it, so if you do have that, please shed some light. But we knew it was going to be a struggle to get Clowney and or Van Noy back in the building. They end up getting one of them and add some stability to the pass rush.
So before we get to Van Noy, I need to correct you a little bit. You called Chris Board a New England Patriot, which, yes, that is true. He was a New England Patriot last year. But before that, one, he was a 3-time FCS national champion at North Dakota State, which is pretty impressive. Shout out Wikipedia. And two, he was a Baltimore Ravens special teams ace. He is one of Harbs' guys. 2018 to 2021, three seasons of just protecting the punter and doing some sweet stuff on that good old special teams. And I think actually had to play some linebacker in those really injury-decimated years that he was a part of the team. So the stereotypical one of Harbs' guys. I'll go quickly on Millett because I'm with you on the offensive line. I know nothing about Josh Jones, or I think that's his name. That's how much I know. You know, good, solid rotational piece, I guess. Backup, if he's playing. John Simpson, we didn't know who that was last year, and he just got paid by the Jets. So, you know, who knows? I like the Millett and Van Noy signings in kind of the same way. I think Millett is – both players are veterans, reliable spot starters, if not, you know, solid contributors to position groups that desperately need it for the Baltimore Ravens. I think Millett was pretty good last year. Can play a little bit outside as well if you need that, if you want to kick Marlon Humphrey inside. And the Ravens love corners because the Ravens love having hurt corners. And, you know, Marlon Humphrey and Brandon Stevens are your 1-2, but you need more than that in today's game. And the likes of Pepe Williams and Jalen Armour Davis and what have you haven't really stepped up in the way that you would like. What is it? They're going to win on their third year now, I believe. So just, you know, it's put up or shut up time for them. So I like the Millett signing. I thought he was solid last year. I got a little fight in him, too. The The Van Noy deal is, apparently it's worth up to $9 million, according to ESPN's Jameson Hensley. It's a two-year contract, which is nice, too, although who knows, it could be a one with a minor cap hit in the second year, what have you. And I thought Van Noy was very, very good for the Ravens. I would have preferred Jadeveon Clowney, not even for the name, but just for kind of what he brought in terms of his physical play last year. But I think Van Noy is a veteran presence, a solid Justin Houston-like, you know what you're going to get out of him type of guy on the edge. With a group that, look, outside of Van Noy, it's Adafe Owe, we all know, David Ajabo, who is also 25 with Owe, Tavius Robinson, who was the draft pick last year out of Ole Miss, who's also 25, and he's only going into his second year. I'm looking at this right now. And then Malik Ham, who was one of those either undrafted or late-round pick guys a couple years ago. He's 23 as well. They needed veterans in the building. Like, you could have drafted a couple rookies. You could have drafted a Chop Robinson, another Penn State edge who didn't have any significant sack numbers in college, so might be right up our alley. Who knows? But I don't think they could have solved the edge issue with young guys. They've got their young guys, and God willing, they step up. And Ajabo stays on the field and stays healthy. Owe makes some step that he might, probably not. And you needed a veteran presence in there. So I think the Van Noy deal is solid. He is another veteran that just feels like a Raven after he's been on the Ravens. And overall, I was really, and I think Antonio nails it, I was pleasantly surprised at the timing of this, this is already done. We don't have to worry about this. Like, we've got this guy. It's not the end, obviously. I think they still need some more bodies in there. But, yeah, overall, the more I think about the Van Noy signing, the more I'm like, as Jace joked in our text group, he's probably going to get 5 sacks next year, and I'm still going to be fine with it because I think the veteran presence is what you need there.
Yeah, that sack total is 1,000% going down. It was a career high 9.5 at 32 years old. He's a year older. Now, like you said, he didn't even join the team until September, so like a full off season in the program is going to be nice. So maybe he can replicate it, but I think beyond the sacks, he's just so versatile. And like you said, Tim, they just needed like guys. Like, even if his sack total drops down to like the 5 to 6, that's been basically what he's put up the bulk of his career since he kind of became more of a full time sort of starter guy. That's fine because that's probably 5 more sacks. Than they're having, although I have an Owe theory, since we're just on the topic. I think this is the 1,000% the year he gets 10 sacks, and it's because they're not going to pick up his fifth-year option, which is they have to do by May. He's going to have double-digit sacks, finally, for the first time in his career in year 4, and then he's going to walk. That is my Adafe Owe prediction. 10 sacks, and he's gone, and it's just will be a frustrating 4 years. But that's for down the road. I like the Van Noy signing, and I especially like it. We could touch on this now, I guess. I think you didn't want to lose both him and Clowney. We talked about a lot. They combined for 18 sacks, 18 and a half sacks. And you bring back Justin Madbike, obviously. So you see Clowney gets paid double what Van Noy is going to be making over the course of his 2-year deal. And it kind of, you're like, yep. The Ravens have a $50 million quarterback. These are the things you have to do. And I think it's fine to bring back a very versatile, sort of bargain edge guy. In the same way, I think it's good to bring in Millette for the same reasons, versatile veteran. And, Josh Jones, I'm glad you said John Simpson. That's exactly who I was thinking, Tim. I remember us having a conversation of, like, who's going to be the starting left guard? And we didn't really know. And I think we just were like, I guess Simpson. They brought him in as a free agent. I think maybe a little longer long shot that Jones becomes a starter. But he has 24 starts in his career. It's, kind of similar track record in that way to Simpson. So, camp battle to watch. Maybe he becomes the guy. Maybe he doesn't. We'll see. And then, the Chris Board thing is just hilarious. They lose Delshawn Phillips, who I believe I saw was their leading tackle guy on special teams last year. And, John Harbaugh has a chance to bring back a special teams ace who is also one of his guys that he probably never wanted to get rid of in the first place. And he's back. So, Chris Board, one of you guys mentioned, 2 starts in 2020. which he somehow had 2.5 sacks that season. Somehow, no recollection of that. But yeah, that was my favorite of these signings. Obviously, Van Noy's the actual favorite, but I love this signing just because it's so funny to be like, oh, Delshawn Phillips out the door. I guess just someone else will play special teams. Nope, guy from bringing back an old friend, an old face from outside the building to have him play this role. Never change, John Harbaugh. Never change, I say.
Odafeowe, you are a future New York Jet. I hope you enjoy getting overpaid when you have that 10-sack season, because Jace painted that picture a little too well, and I could see it. I could see it very much so. I want to talk about Clowney quickly. The Ravens signed him. I think it was like $2 million-ish for the year, and then I think it almost doubled with the incentives because he hit the sack total and all the other stuff. 2 years, $20 million to go to the Carolina Panthers, who are doing things that are, they're thinging, I guess. Their offseason strategy has been a bit odd to me. This kind of feels like a classic overpay for what the guy did the year before. But they have to do this. They kind of have to pay this premium to get players in the building because veterans don't want to, you know, go into this black hole of despair.
Yeah, it's the price for being bad. Like, if you're going to be that bad, and you know, players don't want to sign up for awful teams. So it's like, you know, they gave Clowney clearly more money than we were offering, than any team was offering. And you know, I thought Clowney had a great year. I think the Ravens will be worse without him. But, you know, a team like the Panthers gives you $20 million, and you're a veteran in your 30s now. And you know, he's been signing these shorter deals, but that's more money than anyone was going to offer him. And you know, you kind of just have to say like, hey, thanks for a great 2023. Congrats on getting paid. And hopefully you ball out and the Panthers either trade you at the trade deadline or to a contender or to a different team. But yes, you saw that price come in and you're like, well, yeah, retaining him was never an option.
Well, obviously we're not going to pay that.
Yeah. So I was glad though that they did, the Van Noy news came, cause I didn't think it would have hurt to lose both of them, even though I think Clowney's better. He's younger. He's more athletic. But Van Noy's versatile. And yeah, like Tim said, congrats on getting paid. We wish you a lot of luck.
All right. So obviously some good news there. Still some holes for the Ravens to fill, but we're going to turn to the NFL now. We're going to talk about one thing that happened in particular since the last time we recorded, and it is the trade of Stephon Diggs from the Buffalo Bills to the Houston Texans. It's a weird deal. That's my big brain approach. It leaves the Bills covering a ridiculous amount of dead cap with him gone. He was still a good player, and now he's on a rival in the AFC that is ascending as you are kind of struggling to roster build. Seemingly there are more things that people, there's a lot of things people don't know about, basically, the conflict between Diggs and this team, and it leads to this kind of thing. I'm going to let you guys give your opinions, but my biggest fear is not even Bills related, it's Texans related, because they are, I mean, they already were a problem, but they are officially a big AFC team now that the Ravens have to compete against, and it is a growing list, and I don't like it. We talked about it last year about how all the good quarterbacks were in the AFC, and that ended up kind of, you know, shaking itself out a little bit. But when you approach it this year, Ravens, Bengals, Browns, Bills, Jets, Texans, Dolphins, Jaguars, kind of Chiefs, Chargers, they are all expecting to go to the postseason this year. It's getting more and more crowded. It's frustrating. And the Texans, I think, have climbed another level by getting a perennial Pro Bowl wide receiver one in the building.
Well,
yeah, I'm
sorry.
Go ahead, Jay. Sorry.
I was just going to say the deal is they did rework his deal to basically make it a 1 year deal with the Texans, which I think makes it even more fascinating that it's like, it is almost now they've turned it, like, it's not obviously precluding him from re-signing, but it is a win now play. But I can't say it's the wrong move, because you're on year two of a quarterback who, like, might have led the league in passing yards if he hadn't gotten hurt in his rookie season. The offensive rookie of the year, who seems really good. And yeah, it's even if Diggs doesn't re-sign, I think it's a good move to try to win on this guy's rookie contract and just bring in talent. I obviously, Diggs is a difficult guy, I would say, based on the fact that he's been traded by two different teams now. You don't see that happen for a guy as good as he is very often. But I still like it for the Texans, because I think even with it being a short-term deal, even with Diggs seemingly being a problem, you know, that's a positive of making it a short-term deal. If he's annoyed and doesn't want to be there and is causing problems, you just shake hands and part ways after the 2024 season. So, yeah, I'm very annoyed by it, Tim. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. But it also, the only thing it makes me think, too, is, like, I feel like sometimes it's overblown, the Ravens never tried to get Lamar help conversation. But then I also see a team like the Bills did 4 years ago. And then now the Texans now trade for a guy like Stephon Diggs, and I do think, well, maybe we could have done more to help Lamar. So, I don't know. It is annoying to see a rival team who, you know, reached the division round. We played them in the division round. It's a divisional round team with a rookie quarterback. They're only going to get better and better. Well, success isn't linear in the NFL. They'll have a harder schedule, all that stuff. But they're certainly on a trajectory to be one of the very best teams, seemingly, in the AFC for years to come, and that's annoying.
Yeah, you both have said a lot of the stuff that I think about this. Overall, there have been a lot of trades this year that have just been, and this is not an original thought, a lot of people have pointed this out, but they've just been like, it only took that? Like, that's what it took? I mean, they sent a 2025 second round pick to Buffalo for this, and then there's some other back end picks. Houston actually off. There isn't. Houston just gets two more picks, a 2024 sixth rounder and a 2025 fifth rounder. So essentially a second rounder next year for a chance to win a Super Bowl this year with Stephon Diggs. Yeah, I don't want to do the Ravens thing because I just think that's, you know, I'm not one of these people that sits on Twitter all day just in Ravens Twitter just being like, oh my God, this fan base is so toxic. I'm like, get off Twitter. The whole thing is toxic. Kind of the point now ever since Elon took over. So all you got to do is just back off and hang out. We're not all like that, guy. We're not all like that. But I think with Diggs, this is what you have to do when you have a guy on a rookie deal. And the Texans are doing the right thing. I think that he is still a valuable contributor. I think the talk about his decline, I think, is severely overblown. But at the same time, I don't really care because he doesn't have to be the number one in this offense. Like, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, they can all kind of just be a conglomerate of a number one. And then behind that, you have Noah Brown, who just, like, fantasy people will know, just kind of randomly went off in some games. And then they still have Robert Woods on this team, by the way. That'll be a guy that gets cut, and then the Ravens sign in, like, August, and that'll be sweet. Can't wait for that. You know, Joe Mixon, whatever you think of him, but Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce in the backfield, they are loading up for C.J. Stroud, and they are loading up to make this run now, and I think it's really, really smart. Do I wish any teams in the NFC would be smart at least a little bit? Yeah, you know, outside of, like, the Niners. Anybody else wants to show up, that would be sweet. You know, I don't even trust Philly, and we don't even need to go on to the Cowboys and what have you. But, yeah, that part is weird. I think, and I just noticed what Jace had mentioned, too, that the fact that they basically made this a one-year deal for Diggs kind of tells you what they think of him anyway. They're like, we know we can deal with this guy for 12 months, and, you know, you've heard the stories, and as former Terps, if you ever went to Looney's, you'd heard some stories about old Stephon Diggs there, too. And let's just say he seemed like a rather difficult fellow as well, when he was there. And I know he's a little bit older and more mature now and what have you. But I love this move for the Texans. I think the Texans immediately Think of where they were at the start of last year, or right this time last year. No CJ Stroud yet. They were basically going to take the second quarterback, whoever David Tepper didn't like, you know, his dinner with, and they were going to kind of move on from there. They end up getting the home run hitter with D'Amico Ryans as coach. CJ Stroud, who's already a top five quarterback or close to it in my mind. Will Anderson, who they traded a lot for, to make him the third overall selection in last year's draft. And he ends up being a kind of a cornerstone for them. They start bringing in your veterans. Danielle Hunter on the defensive line is a guaranteed 10-sack guy. Joe Mixon, as we mentioned. Now Stephon Diggs to go with the young, exciting core they already have. They're doing it right, and I think that, I mean, they're easily, for me, the problem in the AFC South and maybe the AFC as a whole. So a very, very good deal for Houston there. And the Bills, I don't know, man. Like, the Bills, I get that they had a lot of, you know, cap issues and what have you. But for me, the Bills almost kind of did the opposite thing. And this is kind of ignoring the money for a little bit. You know, in sports where they usually talk about, well, you can't fire 11 guys. You're just going to have to fire the coach. They kept the coach and got rid of everybody else. They have been severely gutted. For all the talk about how the Ravens have been gutted this offseason, there has been, you know, discourse too, and I'm sure in Buffalo they're talking about it. Buffalo has lost a lot of talent this offseason. It's going to have to be a lot of Josh Allen doing Josh Allen stuff to keep them alive. You know, and look, the draft is still coming. There's still moves to be made. I think this is almost... It's almost a guarantee that they draft a wide receiver one now in the first round, which we'll talk about a little bit today and more next time we're on. But here are the starting wide receivers right now, according to our lads for Buffalo. Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, and Justin Shorter, which is just a horrible name wide receiver.
I've definitely heard of that guy.
Definitely. Also, by the way, everybody's favorite training camp hero, Mac Hollins, is on this team as well. And Andy Isabella, formerly of this parish, is on this team. So, yeah. I mean, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. I mean, old Josh Allen is going to have to be Josh Checkdown, just throwing to his tight ends constantly. I don't know. It's a weird situation. And if I'm Buffalo, I'm not feeling great. Oh, and by the way, one last thing, too, I should say. If you ever think your owner cares about you, you're wrong. The Buffalo Bills traded Stephon Diggs, and moments before that, or I think earlier in that day, had announced that they are jacking up the PSL season ticket prices for their new stadium. And then they sold their best receiver. So just that's some top-class businessing in the NFL there for you. So very good stuff.
My only final thought on this and one of you guys mentioned just there was this perception of a drop off from Diggs, and I'd heard this stat going around. He didn't have a 100-yard game after week 6 last season. He is 30 years old now. And I was like, so I had this idea in my head. I was like, Stephon Diggs, he's starting to fall off. And then I actually looked at his stats for the first time, like his full season stats today. He had 107 catches, 1,100 yards, and 8 touchdowns. He's still very good. And I think he's going to improve the Texans mightily. And what annoys me, too, with the Bills, because I agree with you, Tim, they're going to fall off this season. They've just lost too much. But their division's just easier than the AFC North. Like, Antonio, you didn't even list the Steelers in that list of teams competing for the playoffs.
No, I did not.
A team that made the playoffs last season and, in theory anyway, improved their quarterback play. Regardless of what you think of their hodgepodge this year, it's better than the group from last season. So the AFC North stinks. Joe Burrow's back. Deshaun can't... We keep saying this. He can't be as bad as he's been. I wouldn't think. Maybe he can. Maybe this is just what he is. And I think the Steelers are the Steelers. They have one of the best coaches in the league. So even though I do think the Bills are falling off, the Patriots are going to be awful. The Jets could be great, or they could be awful because they're the Jets. And the Dolphins are probably be worse just because of some of the injuries they've had and some of the, you know, they lose Christian Wilkins and some of their other talents. So It's just an annoying place in the AFC. I think there's about three truly bad AFC teams right now. It's the Raiders, the Broncos, and, like, the Patriots, and that's about it. Everyone else, I think, even the Colts, if Richardson's any good, or if Flacco can recapture the magic again, even they have a roster good enough to at least compete. So, it's like three teams in you know, a 16-team conference that are, like, non-competitive, and the rest, I think, all have viable paths to the playoffs, so that's very frustrating, too, and, I guess just put a bow on it. I like it for the Texans, and even if it works out, it's not a huge risk, so, you know, I like teams that take swings and make interesting decisions, and they're another one, and, I wish there was more in the NFC, because that conference seems to do nothing, while the one the Ravens have to get through to even get to the Super Bowl have teams constantly doing interesting and stuff to improve. So it's just very frustrating in that regard.
I'll just say this quickly on this. I think when you're that loaded in terms of competition, what ultimately, and this is boiling it down to be pretty simple, what ultimately is going to settle this is quarterbacks. You know, it sounds dumb and sounds oversimplifying it, but I think honestly that's going to be it. And the Ravens have a damn good one, the two-time MVP, who is going to put them at the top of those lists a lot of the time. So, or near the top. Patrick Mahomes is still there. We look at this list that Antonio pointed out, and then we can, you know, continue to laugh at Russell Wilson and Justin Fields if we want to. Burrow off injury, Deshaun Watson, I don't believe in him. I think Lamar's better than Allen, but I'm clearly biased. Aaron Rodgers, who knows? CJ Stroud, you know, if he's ascendant, I'll give it to you. Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes, and then Justin Herbert, it's just the Chargers. So until Jim Harbaugh, first of all, it's Justin Herbert, and they hired Greg Roman and got rid of all his receivers. So, like,
they signed Ben Mason.
Great. Even better. Even better for my case.
Oh, man. I agree, Tim. This stuff, you get to the start of the season, and then you get, 3 to 4 weeks into a season, and you start kind of. You find the holes, you find the cracks in teams, and the sand kind of does end up settling to the top three or four. And then it's just fun because it's Chiefs verse in the AFC Championship game. So that's
right.
We're fighting for one spot. All these other teams in the AFC for a chance, just a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's turn now and do a little early look in on the NFL draft, but more importantly, on the Pod Like a Raven mock draft, because that is coming up in 2 weeks. Tim mentioned it at the top, one of our more fun episodes, if we can keep it together. I have reservations about myself. We're bringing in trades this year for the first round. We have not really done that in the past, and we were doing some prep work before this episode, and I was struggling to. It's just like there you find that you just have gaps in your intelligence with just random things, and for me it is the math of like trading back, trading up, what pick means two other picks, and how you move them around. Never was good at puzzles, and this is proving to be that for me. So I'll see if I can keep up with my co-hosts in a couple of weeks, but it will be a lot of fun. We have our draft order set, and by that I mean how the three of us are going to go in order. And it's basically Jace, Tim, myself on a loop, with a few exceptions. And with that, I'm going to bring in our correspondent. Again, the anchor is teasing out to a representative out in the field. Tim Horsey is going to explain how we're going to mix in trades for this particular mock draft coming up in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so for those of you that follow along with us, and we thank you, you know, we've actually done relatively okay over the last couple. Our top three last year, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, and Will Anderson. We obviously didn't predict the Texans, you know, doing what the Texans did, but they did Will Anderson at three. Don't talk about who went at four, Will Levis. Anyway, so but it is a fun episode, and what we usually do is I will basically take a random number generator from one to three, and we'll assign Antonio 1, Jace 2, me 3, hit it, reorder it, and that's how it pops out. And whatever that order is, then I just go, you know, all right, this one is first, Antonio's first, then Jace, then myself, what have you. We're going to do something a little bit different. So I originally listed it out that way, and I can say the order falls like this, and then you can do your quick math to figure out who has the Ravens pick, if you want to do that before I reveal it here in just a second. I will be picking first. Jace will be picking second.
Oh, did I say that? I had it the other way, didn't I, when I went over that?
Yes, yeah, that's okay.
See, that's what we're talking about. It's already a poor start. I'm nervous. I'm sweating. This is not going to go well.
For those of you that obviously wouldn't know this, our prep doc, we all write in different colors, and I used those colors to signify. And Antonio, you know, maybe he looked at the eclipse too long, and now he's colorblind, so now he can't see. But I will be picking first with the Chicago Bears. Jace will be picking second as the Washington Commanders, and Antonio picks third as the New England Patriots. Now, where this gets a little bit different, we are going to do trades because obviously there's a lot of discourse about the quarterbacks. It looks like Minnesota, it looks like Denver, maybe even Oakland could go up and make a move. So we're going to incorporate trades. We are not going to do the full compensation. They're going to get a 2027 first rounder for this or what have you, because frankly, we're not smart enough for that, and it would be way too hard for you to follow on a podcast anyway. But there are a couple teams, there are three teams, in fact, with multiple first-round picks. And rather than just going in our order of 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, we wanted to give each of us kind of ownership of teams rather than places. So I went through, I did all the orders, and then I reordered stuff to give each of us one of the teams with two draft picks, just based on kind of how it fell. So we'll start with Jace. Jace is going to be the Minnesota Vikings. And honestly, that already was in the order there. So he has 11 and 23 via Cleveland. Antonio will be the Arizona Cardinals. So he's going to be picking fourth. He'll be picking 27th. Or if they trade out, you know, we'll get to that in a second. So he's actually going to be picking third and fourth rather than kind of in our 1-2-3 order. And that leaves me with the Chicago Bears at 1-9. Basically, Antonio and I had to flip two picks to make this work. To just, again, we want ownership of the teams and the team needs. We're going to do all the research we can to focus on those particular teams rather than, this 21st spot. All that being said here, if Jace, I don't know, as the Minnesota Vikings, decides to trade up with four to the Arizona Cardinals, Antonio would no longer pick in that slot. Jace would pick in that slot as he made the trade. We'll go back and forth. It's not just going to be like an automatic, I'm trading, and they make the trade. We'll kind of discuss it. We won't really debate on whether it should happen or not, but explain why it might happen, why it might not happen, and ultimately come to a consensus of, yeah, sure, you know, the Vikings will do that, but, you know, I bet it's going to take a bunch of different picks, and why would they do it, and who are they going to take here, and maybe why would Arizona stay there? I'm using this example because this example is definitely going to happen in 2 weeks, so just, you know, just be ready for that. But that's, you know, again, we all have ownership of teams. You know, I could do this quickly even. I have the Bears, Titans, the Jets, the Raiders, the Seahawks, the Rams. I have no idea what to do with the Rams, by the way. We can talk about that. The Eagles, the Packers, the Bills, and the San Francisco 49ers. Jace has the Chiefs, the Lions, the Bucks, the Vikings, as we mentioned, the Pittsburgh Steelers, sucks for you, Jacksonville Jaguars. Just pick Michael Penix for the Steelers. That would be hilarious. Jacksonville Jaguars, New Orleans Saints, the Atlanta Falcons, the Chargers, and as a lot of his friends' favorite team, the Washington Commanders, leaving Antonio with the New England Patriots, Arizona Cardinals, New York Giants, Denver Broncos, Indianapolis Colts, Cincinnati Bengals, Miami Dolphins, Dallas Cowboys, we already said the Cardinals, and you guessed it, the Baltimore Ravens at 30. Will Antonio try and trade up to number 5 for Marvin Harrison Jr.? Stay tuned to find out. It probably won't happen, but just, you know, that it is now open here in the Pod Like a Raven mock draft. So I hope that was kind of a long, rambling way to say we're all going to own certain teams, and we are going to make trades with each other and try and make this a little bit more interactive. And obviously, we'll post it across our various social medias as well, so you can kind of have a look and roast us and be like, who's that guy? And we can say, I don't know, and you know, it'll be a good time. It's always one of the best episodes, one of the longest episodes of the year as well. So look forward to that.
That was fantastically explained. Last year, I think for the Steelers, I drafted a player that had already been drafted, and then I drafted a second player, and that was the actual player that the Steelers ended up drafting. So that's kind of how it goes. That's how it goes in a lot of ways, but we have a lot of fun. And do I think the Ravens should try to trade up for 4? Yes. Yes, I do. We'll see if I try to make that happen with myself on draft night, also having the Cardinals pick at 4. But no, I'll have to kind of make decisions with the head rather than the heart for the Ravens at 30. But it is an honor to be picking with them. I don't know how many times I've had them on Pod Like a Raven, but I don't think too many.
I will say you both have had them. I have never had them. And as the man who picks the order, I don't do this because I do or don't want them. It was completely by chance. It's always by chance. I will say last year, for those of you that want to know, we've picked Cesar Ruiz in the past. I remember that specifically. Last year, I don't know who it was, but it was an all-time bag fumble by whoever was our Ravens correspondent last year.
Probably me, I think.
Ravens ultimately picking, I believe we selected 22nd overall in the actual draft. There was a trade here, so maybe we did some like slight trades last year. I don't remember. We're going full all out this year, I will say that. So the Ravens traded down from 22 to 25. At 22, the New York Giants selected Quentin Johnston. Then Zay Flowers goes 23, our sweet prince, to the Minnesota Vikings. Dalton Kincaid went 24 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And at 25, with the Ravens back on the board, cover your ears, all of our Washington Commanders fans. Emmanuel Forbes went 25 out of Mississippi State. Just a horrendous pick, as you can see now in the real-life NFL, where he is just stinking up the bed for the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, I've gotten stuck with the Ravens a lot, so I'm not going to say I'm upset that I don't have them. I do feel there's a lot of pressure with that on this show when you make that pick. You want to pick the best guy, I would say. You know, I remember one year, it was the year we had the 2 picks after they traded Orlando Brown. I believe we did successfully mock Rashad Bateman to them in one of our mocks, so we nailed that.
Yes.
Hit and miss, I would say, as a real life experience. But yeah, this is always one of my favorite shows. It's a lot of fun. Great way to break down. And I'm not going to lie, I have also had thoughts about trading up to number 4 for Marvin Harrison Jr. And I don't know if that's just he's that good of a prospect that he's going to inspire every fan base to think, what if we traded up for this guy? You know, I think he's pretty can't miss. I think there's a lot of good receivers. That's what's exciting about this draft. You know, we'll see how the mock plays out. I think it's going to be a lot of receivers, a lot of linemen in this first round. Not a ton of defensive players, but if there is a group that's sort of deep, or at least will have multiple in the first round, I would think it'd be corner, which isn't bad because the Ravens also need that probably, you know. We talked about bringing Arthur Millett back, but their starters are Marlon Humphrey, who's not that young anymore, and Brandon Stevens. So, I think if I had to think, that's the sort of three positions I think the Ravens are going to be targeting at 30, and I will not be shocked if in real life they trade down to some team who's trying to draft a quarterback late in the third or late in the first round or trying to get that fifth year or something. I'm absolutely not going to be stunned if they trade down to like pick 33 or 34.
Oh, we are staying up till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night with that sweet 5:30 alarm for the morning show. And Eric DaCosta's trading out at 30, and he's trading out to 32, and then he's trading out again to like 48. When I can't wait to watch it, you know, on Friday evening when that takes place. It's absolutely happening. Yeah,
I can't believe I'm saying this. This is one of the few years where I kind of wouldn't hate that. I think, I mean, I'm gonna hate it as a viewer. The experience I will not enjoy whatsoever, but picking 30th from a fan perspective, from a viewer perspective, it is going to be a painful evening when we start seeing guys that we thought might be there leave at like 15 and 16, and then you get to the 20s and you have a handful of names, and then they all start getting knocked off one after the other. At 30, I kind of wouldn't hate giving that spot up for one of these teams, Jace just mentioned, hopping back in to get the quarterback, where you don't move that far back into the second round, that maybe have a few picks in the second round to get talented players, because they have holes. They have holes in a few different spots, and they love lottery tickets and trying to get the best players available and seeing which ones pan out, which is basically the same thing that they do in free agency, by getting a lot of veterans on small deals and seeing which one of them kind of provides a good season. I'm at 30, picking for the Ravens this year. We'll see what I choose to do, trading in or out. But heart over the head, I'm going to kind of go around and see what you guys are intrigued by for the Ravens at 30, a bit early here as we're a few weeks away. But not saying I'm going to try to make this pick, not saying this guy's going to be available, maybe even less so in real life, but heart over head, early predictions, give me Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas. Looks a lot like CeeDee Lamb. I think getting a game changer at 30 is very, very difficult, but this guy could be that and could be there based on, as Jace mentioned, the depth at wide receiver this year in the draft. And then you deal with the other stuff later. You deal with the O-line in the third round, in the fourth round, get some guys that people never heard of. You get a corner in round two. You get a veteran offensive lineman after the draft, so you don't, you wait for that wave to pass, and then you get the veterans that make themselves available in the summer or late into August. But I would be intrigued by getting a 6'4", 4'4 guy with hands and a little bit of elusiveness to supplement the wide receiver room and give your star quarterback more talent. Don't know if he's going to be there. Jace, is he going to be there? Is it possible that he's there?
It's definitely possible. There's going to be a lot of receivers taken, but obviously, unfortunately, you know, we have the pipe dream of Marvin Harrison. He's going to be the first off the board. Roma Dunze will be gone. Malik Nabers will be gone. They're probably all top 10 picks. But there's a lot of guys like Brian Thomas, the other LSU wide receiver, could be around. One guy that intrigues me is Keon Coleman, the Florida State wide receiver, the literal slowest wide receiver at the combine. And then he ran the fastest gauntlet drill. He's huge. He's 6'3". He measured it at 6'3", 213 at the combine. I don't know what to make of any of his combine stats. Like I said, when they actually did the drills, he was like the best guy out there for the catch and run and do all that drill. And then he ran the slowest straight line speed. So he might still be around. Xavier Worthy, I don't really think he's the kind of... I agree with you. I think if you're taking a receiver, I think they got to be looking at a big body sort of guy. But Xavier Worthy ran the fastest time in the 40 ever at the combine. He might rocket into the first round. Because
he's going 13 to the Raiders.
Yeah, they're like 4-2. Sign us up. I will say... I don't hate receiver. I think that's because there are going to be so many good ones. I think that's lined up into my number two, but I'm team tackle, and I've been unable to shake just my caveman brain. Is that Amarius Mims is really big. He's 6'8" and 340 pounds, and I want the Ravens to draft him. And that's about it. I don't even know how great he is, really. You know, he's Georgia's.
Can he block? Who knows?
Yeah, he's what was one of Georgia's tackles. Did the Georgia thing where he rode the pine a lot because they just have five stars on five stars there, and he was one of them. And he was injured some this most recent season, so he doesn't have like a ton of starts. But the size is insane. He ran like a shockingly quick 40 for how big he is. It was, you know, in the fives, but still, like, he could move. He's huge. He was like basically the biggest guy at the combine. And I wouldn't hate that as just like, you know, if they like him being like, let's just draft a right tackle. You know, who even knows with Ronnie Stanley? So maybe he could be a left tackle down the line too. But for now, just draft a guy who could be a starting right tackle, and then you can figure out the guard positions from there. I don't hate that. So that's been my guy. All the mocks I've enjoyed. But yeah, I need to do like more research on him other than all I really know is he's huge. I know his height and I know his weight, and that's about it. But that's enough for me for now. But yeah, he should be around. And so that's the other thing, you know, at 30, there are going to be a ton of tackles in this draft. And I think most will be of the top tier ones will probably be off the board. And so maybe Mims is like the next step, but he's kind of been the guy I keep circling for them every time I sort of think about guys I want and who might be there when they pick.
Man, big, bring him to team. I got a lot. This is so stereotypical me, but I don't
fullback
want a receiver.
Round one. Oh,
yeah, no, not that stereotypical. Although there might be some good ones this year. Who knows? No, we got Pat. We don't need it. I don't want a receiver in round one. I just think Zay Flowers, you hit. Good job. Let's cool the Jets because you haven't really hit on anybody else. And I would much rather go for like a, and he might even be a first round guy. So I don't know, but like a Ladd McConkey, also just because his name is Ladd McConkey, or you know, like a Roman Wilson or one of the Washington wide receivers in the second round, maybe a Ricky Parasol, maybe. I don't know. The A.D. Mitchell stuff, you know, I've been listening to a couple pods just getting ready that, you know, on the Ringer NFL draft guide, he's got, they say, shades of George Pickens, and that's not just for the on-the-field stuff. It's for the taking plays off stuff, like legitimately not caring at all when the ball wasn't going to his side of the field, kind of being a little bit of a diva. It just worries me a little bit when it comes to A.D. Mitchell. And then the other receivers I think are going to be gone. I will say, shout out Danny Kelly from The Ringer. His Brian Thomas Jr., the other LSU wide receiver, who could be there, probably won't be. Shades of Christian Watson or Kenny Powers on a jet ski. So I'm already in on that guy. Sign me up. I'm with Jace. Give me the fat boys. I think we need offensive linemen just so badly. You know, Fashanu out of Penn State is going to be gone. Joe Alt out of Notre Dame is going to be gone. And then from there, these guys are probably going to be gone, but who really knows? Talise Fuaga from Oregon State, Troy Fatanu from Washington is kind of the guy that I like because he plays both tackle and guard. A lot of people have been linking him to the Seahawks because their former offensive coordinator with the University of Washington is now the Seahawks offensive coordinator. I love that move too, by the way, because he's just like, I'm just going to upgrade in the city where I live. Good on him. But he's got versatility at both tackle and guard. There's a lot of guys in this class that have that versatility that I think is huge for the Ravens. J.C. Latham, another Alabama tackle, could totally see it if he falls because he's an Alabama tackle. I hate saying this, but there's a guy out of Duke that I like. His name, Graham Barton, another guy who I think came up as a center as a freshman and then finished his college career as an All-American left tackle and also plays guard. Graham Barton's another guy. I know Nate Tice, the Athletic, is all over him, so I would be super happy with that. It's the first time I've ever been anything positive with Duke I'd be happy about. And then there's some other guys, you know, Kingsley Sua Matatia, I hope we don't draft him because I can't say his name.
Just add him to the list of Ravens that we can't pronounce.
Yeah, him and the Oregon left guard, Sala, basically will be on one side for us in a couple years. He's out of BYU, big hulking tackle out of BYU. I need a big guy. I don't want to get into like week seven and Lamar has been running for his life for 6 weeks and we're just like, this, we can't fix this. We can't fix this. It is the most important position group to me outside of quarterback that I just think it's imperative that they do something. So offensive line is one for me. Wide receiver is three for me in terms of need. And the second in the middle of those two is, you'll never guess, defensive back. I think corner, safety, something like that. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo and Terrion Arnold are going to be probably gone off the board by the time the Ravens pick unless they move up. But, I mean, Cooper DeJean, can we just say it? White dude in the defensive backfield. Very odd. I don't know how good he is, Jace. I know, you know, apparently he's very good. But it is kind of funny just seeing that. You're like, that doesn't happen all of the time. But I think Cooper DeJean, Nate Wiggins is purely an outside corner, although he is very young, I believe, from Clemson. So that could be interesting. And then Kool-Aid McKinstry, first of all, hell yeah. Kool-Aid McKinstry, sure, sign me up. And then two, Alabama cornerback. If he's there, the Ravens are taking him. Like if it's him and JC Latham, an offensive lineman and a cornerback, both from the University of Alabama, Eric DaCosta might explode. He might not know what to do with himself when he tries to pick it. He might try and pick them both and just write both of their names on the card and make Roger Goodell say it really fast. But yeah, I think Kool-Aid McKinstry would be another guy that seems like he could kind of start from day one as well. So long way of saying, please get a fat boy. And if you don't, defensive secondary help, please.
It is an interesting, I mean, they're all interesting years, the first rounds of these drafts, but you're picking 30. There's 29 players that are going to get selected if you stay where you are. But five are going to be quarterbacks before that. Maybe less, maybe more. You get a couple of linemen, you get a couple of corners, you get the run on wide receivers. It kind of feels like there's an opportunity even at 30 when you know you don't need the franchise quarterback. You've done the hard stuff. You just need to see who's there at 30. A bunch of teams are going to be moving up. Teams are going to be reaching for quarterbacks who Ravens have graded way lower than 30, and they're not interested in drafting anyway. So it just, I mean, it seems like a perennial thing with this franchise, but drafting from a position of strength, they know what their needs are. They're not going to freak out. They're not going to panic. They're probably not going to trade up to four and sacrifice all their draft capital for the following season. They're going to wait. They're going to sit. They're going to see if there's an interesting player at their spot. Feels like there should be. There feels like with all these quarterbacks going and all these wide receivers going that there's going to be somebody at 30 that they have graded as like 16th best player, and he's just there at 30, and they're going to take him, and then they're going to move on and address other things in every round. They're very good at it. We're very fortunate. Sure, they've missed here and there. Most teams miss all the time yeah. And then fix that in free agency. The Ravens don't do that. They kind of work successfully with the players that they bring into the building themselves. I'm excited. We're still a few weeks away from the actual draft. Of course, we're going to bring the mock 2 weeks from today, I believe. Any final thoughts, guys, before we wrap this episode and then immediately hit the books and start doing our research?
I'm excited. I love our mock draft episode. It's a great way for me, I think, to get into the draft and the other teams in it. I will say, too, it's exciting to not be picking as high as we have. Even, you know, last year wasn't real high. It was in the 20s. But I was just thinking about what you were saying, Antonio, about sitting still. Kyle Hamilton, 14th overall pick, did not move up, did not move down to get him, just stayed right there, took a guy who many people thought was a top five potential, and just didn't have to move and have an all-pro in his going into his third season. So it's guys like him that make you love the draft and this whole process. And it's exciting. And I just think back to last year, too, where this whole process was a lot less fun last year because we were probably having conversations like, do we have to draft a quarterback because our quarterback has demanded a trade and things like that. And we don't have that this year. Last year's draft day was one of the best days in Ravens history because Lamar signed his extension and then it was the draft. And it was just a great party. But to not have all that angst in the build up to it, it's just it feels like, I think, like a lot funner enterprise this year. So I'm excited for this year's draft, even if, like we've talked about, 30th overall pick, going to be a lot of waiting around, especially on draft night, because certainly it'd be stunning to see this team move up. But it's just a great time of year. It's sort of the unofficial, you know, I know obviously we already had free agency, but given our team doesn't really partake much in free agency, the draft always feels like, sort of to me, like the unofficial start of the next season.
All right. Well, that will do it for us. For Jace Evans, Tim Horsey, I am Antonio Barbera. Got to start cranking out some research. thank you for listening to us here on Pod Like a Raven. We'll be back with our mock draft in 2 weeks.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.